No.
What's your least favorite scary movie?
Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome to What's Your Least Favorite Scary Movie, the podcast where we talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the absurd in all of our favorite
and least favorite
scary movies.
Because we believe every horror movie rightfully has its fan base.
Even if we don't always get it.
My name is Travis.
My name's Jesse.
And we are breaking into 2024. Woo! With The Collector this week, everybody.
Yes.
We just talked Saw, so let's talk about something that's not Saw, but is kind of Saw.
I mean, we got Melton and Dunstan here.
Mm-hmm. As they are working on their Saw movies.
Yeah.
Yep. It's
it's the month of Melton and Dunstan.
Yeah, it is.
Kind of.
Yeah. Happening. No. January belongs to them. Always has. All right. So yeah, we're going to be talking about The Collector today. But before we do that, do you have any announcements you want to talk about?
New month, new schedule. Be sure to check out our social media and find out what's on the docket for this month. We'll have it, should have had it posted sometime over the past weekend.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen it already, good shiggity, check it out.
All right. With that out of the way, then I have our poll results.
Yay.
So we talked about Saw 5 last week. And as is tradition for our Saw movies, the polls are always, which of the traps from that movie would you survive? So I only had 3 traps this time because we counted the game as the game of 5 as one whole trap.
Yeah.
So the 3 options are the water cube, the game of 5, and the glass coffin. On Instagram, 12% think they could survive the water cube. 50% believe they could handle the game of 5. 38% would take on the glass coffin. And on Twitter, 50% the water cube and 50% the glass coffin. I want to know how you guys plan on surviving the water cube. Like, the only way you got to do is you got to stab your neck. And, like, stabbing your neck isn't exactly an easy thing to pull off.
Also, do you always have pens in your pocket?
Yeah, you got to be having a pen in your pocket within reach, too. You know, like, you got to move fast.
And I feel like, honestly, that discounts anybody who's wearing, like, traditionally feminine cut clothing, because you know those pockets ain't holding a pen.
Do you all have little chest pockets too?
Not once you're into like adult women's clothing, like young women
would it be
can
awkward?
Have a little pocket. Yeah,
like a boob there.
Yeah, because like where are you gonna put it in there? It's gonna yeah, like it's just
push up against your nipple.
It's just more like, because you put the pen there, it's going to be like, it's just awkward. It's uncomfortable.
Okay.
Like, and again. Patriarchy in fashion, like, a lot of clothing is designed for the male gaze, and if you've got, like, a big square over the titty, like, well, men aren't into that, so.
Just makes you undesirable.
Same reason we don't have, like, big pockets. Well, actually, that kind of started because women weren't allowed to carry money back in
we get into that history, that's a whole other rabbit hole we're about to dive down into. Well, we talked about it last week, but I mean, I think that I would be able to survive the cube, because as I said, I would play the tape all the way through. Strom does not play the tape, so he doesn't know that he needs to get in the coffin to survive.
I'm still going with the group project. And I just talked about this last night, how, you know, I don't bully people on a group project, but I do make sure shit gets done.
Yeah, you would be the guy in the end that would cut his arm basically in half if it meant that you win.
Yeah.
You would win, but you would die. You know what
I mean? Like, I can't believe that you motherfuckers didn't read the syllabus, and now I'm sitting here cutting my arm in half up to the elbow.
I'd count it as a win for you, honestly. If you won and then you died minutes later, I would say she still won. She beat it. Let's give it to
her. I mean, like, dying out of spite is kind of like how I hope I go at some point anyway, so.
That's very fitting for
you.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, that's the poll. So let's talk about The Collector.
Yay!
Okay, so The Collector released July 31st, 2009. We watched it on Amazon Prime because we don't have this on DVD, when I thought that we had this on DVD.
He was so confident, and then goes, we only have the collection.
Yeah, just the collection. And the confusing thing is the poster for both of those are the exact same. They took the exact same pose of the dude. It's just a different color.
It's a good pose. It's like the opposite of the superhero pose, you know?
Yeah, it's cool. I like it. But either way, it threw me off. I was expecting it. But don't worry, you fine folks, because if you do not own it like we did,
it's an incredibly watchable movie.
So, so accessible. It's on all of the free options, like Roku, Vudu, Tubi, Redbox. But if you also have a paid service such as Amazon Prime, like we did, mm-hmm. you can watch it that way.
Or the YouTube TV.
Or the YouTube mm-hmm. TV. or the YouTube
hi,
TV.
I'm Jesse. I'm 87 and a half years old. Do you subscribe to the YouTube?
Yeah. If you have to rent it, though, you can rent it on the free service, such as Vudu, Redbox, or Prime and Apple, if that's your yeah, more of your bag yeah, there. Yeah. Written by Patrick Melton and Marcus Dunstan. Directed by Marcus Dunstan. Music by Nine Inch Nails drummer Jerome Dillon.
Okay, so we're really just keeping the vibe.
Mm-hmm, yep, pretty
from,
much.
From Saul to The Collector. Uh-huh. Okay.
Special effects makeup by Gary J. Tunicliffe. Starring Josh Stewart as Arkin.
What is that name again?
See, I feel like this always happens for me. I always get the more interesting names.
No, I love it. I just want to hear it again.
Tunicliffe. T-U-N-N-I-C-L-I-F-F-E.
Tunicliffe.
Tunicliffe.
I like it. It rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay.
All right. Starring.
Sorry, I just wanted to appreciate it one more time.
Josh Stewart as Arkin. Mm-hmm. Juan Fernandez as The Collector. Michael Burke as Michael. Andrea Roth as Victoria. Carly Scott Collins as Hannah. And Madeline Zima as Jill. With Tommy Kaye as Cat. And Arrow as The Collector's dog.
Aw.
We gotta always shout out the pet actors on the show 100%. Whenever we get a credit.
And it was really exciting because we're watching it on Prime, so we're hitting the X-ray a lot.
Yeah, we got
and
X-ray.
Yeah, they get their credits in the X-ray. And I know it comes from like IMDb, but we have discovered differences between what you see on IMDb versus what you see on X-ray, mm-hmm. Such as all of the background actors in Fast and Furious have a photo on X-ray, whereas they just get the generic silhouette on IMDb.
Really, no, it's really well done. With X-ray, it gives you the pictures of within that movie. That
and it tells
like,
you the song
that's
playing in the scene.
Yeah, that is good. Time for our favorite game, Jesse. Budget or Butthead.
I'm not even mad or not mad. I'm not even remorseful that I missed the beginning of it because you've missed the beginning the past few times. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not even sorry.
I'm sorry. Okay, what is it? Budget
Bughead. Bughead.
You think this is Bughead?
It's as many bugs as this is exterminator guy inexplicably decides to not exterminate.
How many bugs he lights up in the jar whenever he sticks it up against Argon's chest?
Yeah, he's
which
like,
may actually be accurate if you count each bug by the million.
There was some math on the season 6 Podlitum coverage of the they had this runway where they had to wear bejeweled Madagascar hit to sing cockroaches, and it's honestly like animal cruelty. But they did the math on how much the roaches cost pre-bejewelment. And I don't remember what it is off the top of my head, but those are pricey little bugs.
I imagine they are probably, yeah. I mean, the bugs that were in the movie are pretty, pretty gnarly. They're exotic bugs, you know? They're not like standard bugs you find laying around your house.
From Madagascar.
He's a collector, man. He only collects interesting things. That's the thing. He brought that because he's like, this is interesting. I can use this.
Yeah, it's weird because like to survive, you have to show the types of traits that make someone to collect you. It's a real catch 22 of a thing.
It's so strange.
Yeah.
Anyways, you're correct. It is a Bughead movie. This is a $6 million budget for the collector.
You know what? Kudos to them. That's a decent like little budget for such a thing.
They had proven their worth.
Yeah.
They're like well into the... This is a busy year for...
Yeah, this was after they had started with Saw, right?
Yeah, they had released Saw 5 the previous year, and Saw 6 was coming out this year, too. They had two movies coming out this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're, you know, they've established themselves here. And they also had, apparently, a movie that went well with people. Another little indie one called Feast. Never seen it.
Huh.
But
I'd be willing to watch it. We watched Marcus Dunstan, or maybe it was Marcus Dunstan. He's on the Into the Dark with mm-hmm. Pilgrim.
Yeah.
So, and we've...
I think it's both of them again there. I think that they pretty much work together.
Yeah, I know Marcus Dunstan. Well, it's kind of like...
Dunstan does the directing for the most part, yeah. I believe. Patrick Melton, I think, sticks with writing.
It's like Josh Stolberg and Peter Goldfinger.
Yeah.
Like, they're always together. They work well as a team. I appreciate that. But yeah, Pilgrim on Into the Dark. You guys know that we love that Hulu series. Where, in fact, it is New Year's Eve. What? Mm-hmm. So we're going to be watching New Year, New You later. Duh.
Yeah.
New Year, who dis? Okay.
Okay, opening box office. $3.5 million. Worldwide gross, 10.2.
Okay.
It's not that great.
It honestly, though, like, this is one of those that I didn't hear about until my little sister was like, hey, have you seen this movie where this guy walks into a room and gets a fish hook in his eye? And you've met my little sister. You know, I say that like we haven't been together for 12 years, but like you've talked to her extensively. You can hear her describing it just like that, right?
I can, yeah. Yeah. I'm surprised that she's the one that brought it to your attention, though.
Yeah, she made the whole family watch it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting because I think I learned about this one from you.
I probably was like, hey, have you seen this movie where he walks into a room and gets a fish hook in his eye?
I don't remember if that's how you pitched it to me, but if that's how you pitched it to me, I would have been on board.
Literally what I think of every time I think of The Collector. So that movie where the guy walks into a room and gets a fish hook into his eye. Can that please be the tagline for this episode?
The guy where the movie where the guy
walks into a room and gets a fish hook in his eye.
I love it. Let's do that. Okay. Yeah, that's accurate. This sums up the movie perfectly. Okay, IMDb score 6.3 out of 10. All right, so from the year 2009, I figured the theme for three movies that we're going to be talking about to compare it to would be from veteran horror directors.
Okay.
That had releases that year.
I like that.
So we'll start off
with all the newbies in 09.
Yeah, well, fuck them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So starting off with Sam Raimi, we have Drag Me to Hell, which released May 29th, 2009, with a $30 million budget and a worldwide gross of $90.8 million, 6.6 on IMDb.
Yeah, we're going to need to talk about this at some time. I don't love it the way everybody else does and the way I want to love it because it's Sam Raimi.
I thought you came around whenever we watched it.
I don't hate it as much as I did.
You actively, like...
I used to absolutely
hate it. Like, I suggested it many times before, and you actively, like, vetoed it because you hated it so much.
Yeah,
before.
But I've grown as a person, so I decided to give it a chance, mostly so that way you could actually watch it.
Yeah, we watched it. I liked it a lot. I thought it was really good. It is campy. It's okay. It's Raimi with a budget and Justin Long.
Like, I don't love it the way everybody else does. Anyway, we'll get into it at some point, I'm sure.
That's fair. You know, I don't blame you. If you don't like it, you don't like it. Next movie, one from George Romero. In fact, it's his very last movie that he directed.
RIP.
Survival of the Dead, which released September 9th, 2009, so 999, with a budget of $4 million, worldwide gross $386,000, and an IMDb of 4.8. He's one of those, this is all part of the Night of the Living Dead series.
Yeah,
he kept
that
ongoing for his entire life.
Man, I miss that man.
Yeah, he was a good dude.
I'm wearing my Romero glasses right now, actually.
You kind of are, yeah. And the final movie is from Joel Schumacher.
Okay.
And it is Blood Creek, which released September 18th, 2009.
So it's not Batman and Robin?
It's not Batman and Robin, no.
Okay.
It's not The Lost Boys 2. Which apparently there is a sequel to that.
Yeah, we briefly talked about that.
Yeah, it just blew my mind that there was actually a sequel to that. But no budget listed for that one. Worldwide gross, though, I do have, which was $211,000. IMDb score of 5.3.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I've never even heard of this, so.
I hadn't either. It has Henry Cavill in it.
Okay.
Which, you know, this is before Henry Cavill blew up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm sure it's probably solid. Joel Schumacher, other than, I guess, how you feel about the Batman movies, I think he's a pretty solid director.
I don't know what you're talking about. Batman and Robin is amazing.
Well, I think that we are very much in the minority of liking that, but I think a lot of people shit on it.
That's true. Our taste is to be questioned at times.
Yeah.
Peek behind the curtain, Travis tossed around the idea of doing Wrong Turn 4. Which is the prequel, and I was completely ready for people to be upset at my takes on that movie because I fucking love that movie.
No, I think people generally like that movie.
Oh, no, the way I was going to rate it in this franchise.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
well,
you even take umbrage with it, so.
That's going to happen, though. We are going to talk about Wrong Turn 4. We're going to finish that series.
Do we 100%. Have to do 6?
We don't have to, but if I say we do, we do. That's how this works. Okay.
Questionable. Okay.
We only have one tagline for this.
What? Mm-hmm. They didn't have the budget for more taglines.
No, I take it as they were busy working on Saw. They're like, fuck it, we'll just give them this one right
yeah.
here.
Yeah, we gotta give Saw all the taglines.
Yeah, Saw 6, we're working on a really big one here. We got Piranha. Piranha!
Piranha! Speaking of my glasses.
John Kramer with a backwards hat. It's big, big.
Yeah.
Okay, the tagline is, he always takes one.
Okay.
I like it. I think it's pretty good. That's pretty. That's a nice little tagline to grab. You're like, ooh, the collector. He always takes one.
What's yeah, like, okay, we get it. He's collecting
collecting
at
people.
Least one. Yeah.
It's nice.
I feel like the collection makes the point of that a little bit better, but yeah.
The collection.
Larry Walton gives us the much needed exposition, which is like two lines.
The collection, I think, takes the premise and like fucking goes ball to the wall with it.
We'll talk about it in a minute, but I feel like this movie is already kind of like a balls to the wall premise.
No, it is. It absolutely is. And it takes that and then amps it up yeah. a lot, too. 100%. It's crazy. I think, in fact, there are like little zombies in the collection.
Like yeah, no, like loved one type zombies. Like
yeah, exactly. Yeah. yeah, like he like drills her head and like makes them just like mindless creatures that will attack people for him. It's crazy. All right. Fun facts.
Yay!
So I'm glad I ended up being correct, because I remember in a previous Saw episode, we had talked about the collector, mm-hmm. and I had said that it began as a Saw prequel.
Yeah.
And that is actually true. So the original script for the movie was titled The Midnight Man.
Yep.
It was shopped as a spinoff prequel to Saw as John Kramer's origin story, mm-hmm. but the producers were really not into that idea, so they ended up just retooling the script and making it original. Marcus Sunson credits Argento as one of the biggest influences for this movie. He credits him for... he wanted to emulate the way that he makes the camera a character itself.
Okay.
Which I don't necessarily agree with in this, because I don't feel like it has very much yeah. Argento style no. movement to it. He also said that he wanted to take the same musical approach that Argento does, where he collaborated with Goblin and created their own soundtrack.
Okay, no, but seriously, I did get that kind of a vibe, because like there's one point where Hannah pops up in the window, and I swear to God, you can hear, like, in the music, like, somebody screaming, oh, Hannah, yeah. run.
Oh, really?
And it's, yeah, like, it's distorted, but it's there if you're listening for it, which is very, like, Claudio,
yeah,
you know?
That would be very on point for him. I didn't catch that, though.
Yeah, that's no, I was like, because it's very subtle, but, like, it was like, Hannah! Yeah.
Cool. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to go back so that way you can like listen to it.
Maybe that's also why he got a Nine Inch Nails drummer. He's like, well, are you
creepy,
a goblin?
Right?
Yeah. okay. The exterminator that Arkin tells about the wasp nest in the movie is actually the collector.
Yeah.
I didn't gather that from this one. I think we get that in the sequel.
No. They say it in the end when he's in the ambulance. He was like, yeah, because remember, he pulls off the mask, but we don't see the face, right? But then in the ambulance at the end, he's talking to the detective.
Yeah, he mentioned the exterminator.
Yeah, he's
I thought that there were multiple. I didn't, like, there's like a whole team of them there.
There's a whole team of people working on the house. I think he's the only exterminator.
I didn't gather that. I took it as like there were multiple exterminators. It's a large house.
It is a large house, and there's a lot of bugs, but I think that kind of lends credence to the fact that it's just one exterminator who's kind of bad at his job.
Well, maybe that fact is only fun for me or people who are dumb like me and don't make good observations when watching movies. And finally, there is an alternate ending to the movie.
Okay.
So, you know the scene that you were just talking about where he is running out, he makes it out of the house, and he turns back and he sees Hannah and he decides to go back in.
Yeah.
So the ending for this one plays out the exact same way. He runs out, he gets outside, he makes it out, he turns around, sees Hannah there, sees the collector heading up to her, and instead of coming back in, he just sticks both hands up and flips her off and runs away. And I thought that that was bullshit. So I looked it up, and it's actually on film. I looked it up on YouTube. I saw he actually just, like, fucking gives her the fingers and then just runs away without her.
There's like 30 minutes of movie left at that point when he sees Hannah, though. That's a very like joyride alternate ending of a thing.
No, I feel like that's a gag ending.
Yeah,
I feel
no,
like that's
got to
be gag.
Yeah, like he's running and he turns around and he's like, ha!
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. I don't think that they meant for that to ever be an actual ending. I thought that they just had fun one day ending or like, filming and he just like threw up the fingers. But no, they like actually just counted. It's like, okay, and that's an alternate ending. Like he actually doesn't go back to save her and he just fucks off. So
why wouldn't that just go in the gag reel?
I like it as like an alternate ending. I don't know. Like it is an alternate ending. He could have quit there. It could have ended there.
I'm glad that it didn't though.
Oh, I'm glad it didn't too. But I love it. I think it's hilarious. It is super funny. Like this little girl just up in the window crying for him and he just like flips her off and runs away. It's funny. Okay, that's it for my fun facts. So it's time for us to talk about it, Jesse. What did you think of those?
Oh, we get all of the gnarliness. So that's fun. It's just like gross after gross after what kind of sick shit can we come up with? So for all the people that saw Saw 5 and were like, I want more traps and more maiming and more torture. This is where like all of that went. All of that energy went into
this. They might have poured that energy into this one right here. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just, it's ruthless. It doesn't really stop going. There's not a lot of plot to get in the way of the story. Like it just, it's a vehicle for nastiness. And the music I absolutely love. Like I was saying earlier, like those little moments of like the vocals are like distorted and there, so you just kind of like get the like sense of them in the background. Also, Arkin is just one of those characters. Like he's badass, he's complex, he's morally gray, he's a very what's his name from Purge that we love,
Frank Grillo.
Frank Grillo. He's a very Frank Grillo of a thing in this movie. And that's great. That's why we like characters like this, and that's why when we get to the collection and we see him, we're like, yeah! Like,
yeah, exactly.
We get really, like, I like a character who makes bad decisions but still kicks ass and, like, you know, turns life around because of it. And it's, you know, it's for a movie that's very, very thin on plot, like, it's nice to have at least that like emotional core to it.
It's good. So. Yeah. It may have like skipped on the plot, but it put all of its points in the other aspects of the movie that made it fun.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah.
And we, because this was, you know, successful enough for them to greenlight the sequel, we get to see more storytelling in the next one.
Yeah.
So,
for me, I think that I really, really enjoy the setup for this. I love the concept of two people breaking into a home at the same night.
Well, you love a home invasion movie.
I love a home invasion. It's a double invasion.
Yeah.
Where, like, I guess the homeowners are there, so they're, like, victims to it, but, like, it's a great concept. Like, what if two people decide to do it on the same exact night, and then what happens?
Yeah.
And then we see what happens here. Like, you know, one is, like, a little, he just wants to steal it. The other dude has way more fucked up intentions, but yeah. You know, it's really cool. I like the traps in this. I love the like how inventive everything is. He just fucking goes all out in every single room in this house with something different. He's
and
got
I like
hooks
that
and
some of them are really simple too.
Yeah, he's got bear traps all over the floor, and then he's got the super complex ones like the scissors that are on the table just so you can grab them for self defense, but it's gonna fling you up against a projector.
Yeah,
and you're gonna have nails inside like against the wall like of the projection screen. Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
You're modern art now.
Exactly. Yeah, it's really, really interesting. I like what you said about Arkin. I like how they made, like, you know, a bad dude sympathetic. Like, you do care for him. He's not doing something good, but he's doing it for his daughter.
Yeah.
And his family, basically. He's not really doing it for him.
Yeah, he's Jean Valjean, you know?
Yeah, he's sympathetic. He's, you know. I like the mask in this. I think it's really unique. It reminds me a lot of that one.
Nightbreed?
No, it reminds me of like an actual person. I think his like name is Mr. Creepy or something like that.
Oh.
Have you ever seen that? Hold on. I'm going to pull it up right here because it. There's no way it's not at least a little bit. Mr. Krull, I think is what it is. Mr. Krull. Yeah, Mr. Krull is his name. We can show a picture of that or we can share it on social media for people who want to see it. That's an actual composite sketch that they gave the police. Like, had to sketch that right there. Like, it's fucking terrifying.
I'm picturing somebody sitting there with their charcoal pencil just.
But it's unsettling, and it reminds me a lot of that. And I don't know. I think they did a pretty good job with that.
Yeah.
And also, I just think the movie has so much tension in it.
Yeah.
Like, a small space like that, two home invasions, people trying to maneuver around, be quiet, hiding, stuff like that. It's really, really nice.
Yeah.
Okay. What did you not like about it?
Like I said, that it's very, like, transparently a vehicle for, like, torture. You know what I mean?
I was reading an interview from them, and the guy that was interviewing them was like, so, like, what do you think about people that are grouping this and, like, the other things that you're doing as torture porn? Like, is that something that you guys don't really care for? And they're like, no, like, it absolutely is.
Yeah.
Was that supposed to be, like, something that's supposed to make us feel bad? Because we love that shit.
Yeah. And I've been on the record many times saying what I feel about the term torture porn. I think it just gets thrown around any time there's, like, gruesomeness in a movie, and I don't think it's always accurate, but this one definitely is just like, making this movie because we want to show gnarly traps, and sometimes that's what you want, and you don't watch this movie unless you want to watch the nasty traps, unless it's the first time and all you know about it is it's that movie where the guy walks into a room and gets a fish hook into his eye.
That's a gnarly trap though.
And it is a gnarly trap, and it's so simple. Like,
it is.
And then you also kind of know how a fish feels.
So I don't know. Well, I guess if the fish gets it in the eye, then sure.
I'm sure at least a fish has gotten a hook in the eye.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's just ask Steve-O.
Yeah.
Dude. My bad. You're not going to like it, but no. I thought that the soundtrack wasn't that great.
Oh, no. And I made you listen to some of it last night on the way to dinner.
That thing right there. See, okay. I don't think that the songs themselves are bad. I just don't think that they fit the movie. Like, that, they use that song, that's fine as the opening. We get the opening shots, like, of the house and everything that's going on. But, like, in the middle of the movie, as Arkin is waking up from getting knocked out and he's strapped up to a trap, and we just get, like, little guitar strums. Like, I don't know. It didn't do it for me. I did appreciate the use of Bela Lugosi's Dead.
I was about to call you out about being mad just because that song was included.
They even, like, mentioned themselves in the interview that they, like, chose that song specifically because they wanted to also pay homage to movies that were being made at that time. Yeah,
well, because it's, like, this fucking long, intense intro, and it's just, like, perfect while, like, the couple's coming in, and somehow they're, like, just narrowly missing all of these traps. It's very Looney Tunes. I love that use of that song.
Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's good here.
In general, I love that song. Yeah, so, you like, play it just being regularly. There, like, is great.
No, I mean, it's not all bad, but there are many parts of the movie where I was like, this is weird placement, or, like, I wouldn't use this song in a horror movie. But I will say, I love the opening and the credits. Like, the opening credits for both the ending and beginning. Like, how that music plays, and then, like, how that is all shot and everything like that. It does a good job of establishing the movie, like, setting it up, and it gets me pumped up every time.
Okay.
Okay, ugly.
I had, like, a legit ugly ready, and now I don't remember what it is.
Oh, how about this? We got two of them right here. Okay. We got a cat death and a dog.
Yeah, that's always rough.
Dog dies. Dog explodes.
Yeah. I feel like we could have just left the cat out of all of it altogether.
The cat was unnecessary.
Yeah.
The dog, it was his dog. He used it as a tool.
And that's not the dog's fault.
The dog didn't have to go the way it did, you know?
Yeah.
Like, get, like, a flaming trash can to the face and then thrown at the collector, who then shoots it with a shotgun and causes it to explode.
Poor Arrow.
Although, maybe, like, somebody like Taya appreciates it. She's like, damn, that was a good death. Like, that was cool. I like this movie. Even though I don't normally stand for dogs being killed in movies, I appreciate that one. It was unique.
No, I was going to say something else about, like, I guess, like, there's always that little bit of fear of, like, when you have to let people into your home, like, what are their intentions, you know? So you've got, because you just can't avoid it. Like, you have to sometimes have people come in and fix shit for you. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm.
Sometimes when you're not even home.
Yeah. And, like, you know, I go through this a lot because I just the nature of our jobs. Usually it's me that's home whenever we have to have somebody come, like, have to have the plumber come or have to have, like, somebody come do stuff in the attic. Like,
yeah,
it's usually me home alone, and 9 times out of 10, it's a dude that walks in here, and I always, like, try, like, me trying to be safe for myself, I'll say something like, oh, my husband's on his way, but he's running late.
Oh, you say just, that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, I say that literally every time because, like, I don't want them to think that, like, oh, they could easily murder me right here, right now.
I respect, you know, that. But I, like, feel like Talia's also to the side, like, actually, I can defend you.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I want that double layer of stuff.
Oh, you know, yeah, what I mean? You.
Like, and there's always that vulnerability of, like, you have somebody coming in, they're seeing all of your deep, dark secrets. And, you know, the fact that the guy was, like, trying to be kind to Arkin and give him extra money to do something nice for his daughter. And then Arkin is, like,
yeah,
taking advantage of it. But he's doing it so that way his wife doesn't get murdered. Like, I get it. You know what I mean? Like,
it's like, I'm going to need a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, I guess, would say is
that, that's ugly. You're, yeah, right. You're, yeah, very correct. All right, absurd.
I mean all of it, but I mean this in a very good way. Because I know there's people out there that are like, it's so unrealistic. This isn't meant to be realistic, homies. Just because it's a home invasion does not mean that it's meant to be realistic. Like, no, obviously he's not setting up all of these traps in the time frame that it's presented to us as. Obviously he's not doing it quietly and stealthily and speedily while Arkin is upstairs with his little stethoscope thing up against the safe. We're not meant to think that this is, like, realistic. It's presented in a realistic universe. It's, I mean, do you watch, like, a Marvel movie and go, well, you know, people aren't really, like, super powered.
Yeah, people can't really, yeah, fly. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's still set in the real world. That's, I mean, that's what this movie is. It's just because it's dark and gritty doesn't mean that it's, like, meant to be like, this 100% could actually happen to you.
You're so right, though. People, just because it's a little bit more grounded, they, like, it has to play by the real, like, physics rule book.
Yeah, and but I feel like they go so over the top of, like, this is not even a suspension of disbelief. We're in a slightly alternate universe right now. Go with the flow of the movie.
It's very much a turn your brain off. You don't really think about anything that's going on. Just enjoy the ride that you're about, yeah, to be taken on.
If you think about anything in this movie, it falls apart.
Yeah, yeah, like, you really don't think about it. And honestly, that's perfect for me. Except for, you know, whenever it comes to guessing who the exterminator and collector is.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you really need your brain power for that one. That's where you need to be focusing it.
That's the only brain power you use in this movie.
That's where you direct it right there. Who is the co-actor? Which exterminator? My absurd, well, first of all, the amount of people working on this house at the same time. What the fuck are they doing here?
Like,
they have
they
an exterminator. They,
like,
have somebody
happened?
Installing windows. They have somebody installing bars. They have, like, people just remodeling the house. They
and
have
it's
all
implied
kinds of
that
shit.
This work has been going on for months and will continue when they come back from vacation.
He's on a first name basis with the owner there. Like, they know, yeah, each other. And, like, it's so weird. Yeah, what the fuck is happening here? Why are they all working at the same time? What if they all have to be, like, doing the same thing in one room together and, like, they're just walking all over each other, getting in each other's way, you know?
And at that level of wealth, you don't live in your house when it's being renovated.
No,
like that.
Go to your next house or, yeah, like,
you have some at home.
The fucking resort or whatever, you know? Yeah. Take your private jet, Michael. And the other thing is the whole side movie that we get going on with this little spider.
I know, we watch his entire journey.
This spider actually does have its own character arc.
It's from outside the house, and then it gets into Hannah's room, and somehow he gets down to the basement, and the exterminator, whose entire job is to exterminate bugs, gently lifts it up, blows him a kiss, and lets him out the only window that is not rigged in the entire goddamn house that a person could totally fit through.
I just want, like, I'm going to pitch this to them if they ever want an idea for another collector movie, but, like, the spider is accidentally setting off traps in the house, too, and it's having to, like, like, dodge it and stuff like that.
Like, it's in the fish hook room, and it's, like, slinging webs between yeah, all the fishing lines, and it, like, redoes the trap in a way.
I'm actually just imagining it doing more, like, swinging on the vines of, like, you know, the hooks just swinging around the house. Or like Spider-Man just shooting like out of its butt, just like, just like next to something.
I'm sorry. I know what you meant, that like the spider is shooting the web out of its butt, but I just like pictured a juicy, thick Spider-Man, like,
yeah. Also, it has to like avoid the acid floor too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
it probably like does like the little air web thing, like the air silk that gets caught on the breeze and all that.
We just get pieces of this movie that's happening, and we get the climax when we get that slow zoom on all of like the spider eyes. Like, what the fuck is happening in this moment? It's just crazy. Okay, what do you rate this then out of 10?
I think I'm gonna give this an 8.5.
Okay,
that's like it's solid. It does what it does. I mean, it's not much of a story, like I said, but it's okay.
Don't need a story for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's doing what it does. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm right there with you. 8.5 sounds right about right for this thing.
Well, that makes the math for the starting average really easy.
Yeah. 8.5. So we started off with a couple entering their home at night. They appear drunk.
Also being renovated, because there's ladders and caution tape all over the place.
I would imagine that they all are houses that he's working on.
Yeah, but like, you don't have to be doing a full renovation to have an exterminator come by.
No, but
like, that is a thing that people just periodically call. Like, it's not a, I just moved into this house and I need to take care of all these bugs.
Maybe the exterminator is fucking up the houses in the process of exterminating bugs, so everybody's having to like come fix his shit.
He is not exterminating the bugs.
He might be. No, that's the thing. Yeah, I guess you're right. He's collecting them.
He's going around. He's Dale Gribble with his little gun, and he's going, psst, 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 pretending to do it.
I just think of that clip of him in the vent where he just like goes in like a whole circle just crushing the bugs.
Yeah. It's tick, tick.
Yeah, that's not what the collector's about. He's more about saving the little guys. He's exterminating the house is pretty much what's happening.
Yeah.
But okay, the couple comes back, they're drunk, and the power's out.
And there's a box in their bedroom. Mm-hmm. It's just a bad night to be this drunk. Like, they were 100% about to fuck.
They were, yeah. It was about to get nasty. Yeah,
and then
and it still might get nasty.
Just not in the way they
like, there's
to.
A box here. Well, we'll deal with that shit after the fact.
Have we ever done it in a box?
Yeah, let's do it on the box or in the box.
Except he opens the box and he goes, oh, dear God, no. And then we just see him being grabbed from behind by somebody in all black.
And then we get this awesome opening here where it's just like little shots of the collector. He's like in a hallway and he's just like, collecting shit, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just, he's got his box there. Yeah.
Like, I like to imagine him being like, my only hobby isn't collecting, okay?
Yeah, I also make really cool videos and movies at home with my friends, bugs.
Also, the bass player in my band.
Yeah.
Because he would be bass.
Yeah. It's with the nine inch nails drummer. It's cool, I promise. It's legit. All right, so with that out of the way, we get the house that we're going to be spending most of this movie
in. So there's a lot of workers there doing various kinds of work.
Every type of business.
Yeah. So much is happening.
It's a fucking mansion, though. It's a gigantic house.
Which is weird because Arkin seems to be like a like single...
a contractor.
Contractor, like handyman. Yeah, like, because he is painting doors and he's installing windows and he seems to be doing this all by himself.
Yeah, he really does seem to be doing it. And then other people are, I don't know what else is happening here, but a lot of work's being done on this house.
Yeah.
A little girl walks up to Arkin, though, and asks him to join her for a tea party as a mermaid. She's the mermaid. Yeah, he's going to be Arkin.
Wait, hold on. First, there's a couple of things we have to talk about. One is that we see a little business card, Michael Chase, Chase Jewelry. He is a jewelry broker. Mm. One of those things that, again, if you think about it for too long, it just falls apart. Why would a jewelry broker have the jewelry in his own personal safe at his own house?
He breaks the jewels, so he's got to keep them safe.
And then the other is the mom is doing her own Botox, and she names one of her wrinkles Jill.
Oh, that's so fucked up, right? She blames it on her daughter.
Yeah. And yeah, and I'm like, I guess I get the sense there's tension in this relationship, but I also get the sense that it's maybe not just coming from Jell.
Well, there's also, I guess we forgot about this, or I did, but the dad stumbles. Like, I guess like the people there are setting up his projector, mm-hmm. and they're playing home videos. So he like gets sidetracked and just stops to watch the home videos. So I guess he's like longing for the good old days where the family loved each other and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But why are these people playing his personal home videos in his house?
Man, we're lucky. That's the file that was queued up.
Oh boy. Yeah. Ah, man. Don't want to see that.
Yeah.
This guy kind of looks like Jason Blum, doesn't he?
I don't 100% know what Jason Blum looks like. Like this guy.
Take my word for it.
I will.
Okay.
But yeah, so Hannah comes up and invites Arkin to a tea party. And when a child that age invites you to a tea party, you go to the damn tea party.
You gotta.
You don't have a choice. I feel like because Michael comes in and sees him and he's like, what are you doing? And he goes, well, she invited me to a tea party. And he goes, okay, yeah, I probably would have been more angry if you like. Hadn't
if you would have yeah also the spider's on the cup
yeah and the spider's on the cup and he tosses it into a teddy bear's clothing.
I don't think he does it. He reaches for it, he's gonna get it, but then the dad comes in to interrupt, and then like he interrupts, like the spider gets away, the spider just is free.
Yeah. And before Michael interrupts, Arkin asks Hannah, like, if you could have one gift in the entire world, what would it be? And she says a Baskin bear. So he's trying to get gift ideas for his daughter.
Yeah.
And he goes, where do you get one of those? And she was like, the toy store, you dummy.
Yeah, I'm a kid. What like, the fuck are you talking about? Don't ask me that ever again. I'm a mermaid. So he goes outside. He's continuing his work. He's trying to install some kind of window. And then a bunch of wasps just come and land on his arm. He looks to the left. There's a gigantic wasp nest. So he goes to the collector. He's like, hey, bro, collect that shit.
It is such a huge wasp nest, and like honestly, one wasp landing on my hand is a nightmare, and it would have been enough to make me just fucking run out. And our neighbors can attest because they've seen me get attacked by a single bee while checking the mail and like running around the cul-de-sac. I can handle having five wasps on my hand, and he just like blows his cigarette smoke out. He's cool as a cucumber.
That's what you gotta do. If you panic, they
seduce him. Yeah, I get
everybody's panicking. They're panicking. You're panicking. They sting you. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I probably crush at least one of them to death. And that's granted, that's what's happened my entire life, which is why wasps and I don't have a good relationship.
Yeah, word spread. they know that you're an enemy. So he goes over to his truck to smoke a cigarette, and then Jill arrives and asks for a drag. She tells him, she's like, you're about to hear a fight, but don't worry, it's just part of the show. So she goes up and climbs up the side of her house and gets inside her window, and her mom busts her.
Yeah.
They have this big argument about her not wanting to go on vacation with them. Mm-hmm. So you know that the family's about to leave. We're setting all that up.
Yeah. And then the father comes and pays him for the week, and he says, you know, we'll be back in 2 weeks. Arkin's like, enjoy your vacation. He goes, here's extra money for your daughter. I feel like maybe I haven't been paying you enough. Your worth is only related to your potential to repopulate the earth. So here's a little bit more money now.
So we cut to Arkin. He's arriving at a bowling alley. Oasis Lanes. His daughter's there. And he comes over and gives her a little teddy bear, which I am assuming is the thing that she told him about.
And this is heartbreaking because she looks sad. And for a minute, you're like, oh, God, she hates teddy bears. And she just goes, do I get to keep it?
Yeah. So you know that they've been taking her stuff and pawning it to try and like pay off their debts and stuff like that. It's really, really sad.
Yeah, a child that age shouldn't have to ask questions like that, but sometimes it happens. And
the whole dynamic here confused me though, because I didn't get it as her being his wife still. I thought it was like an ex-wife. Like he was like, she had custody and he was supposed to pick her up like 6 hours ago, but he's late now.
No, he's just late with the money.
Yeah, I get that
and
now.
He doesn't realize how bad it is with the loan sharks. So what it is that the loan sharks say it's due tonight at midnight and it's not enough money. And he's like, but jobs only come by so often. He goes, it's loan sharks. And he goes, okay, I guess I'll do some crime then.
I got a crime.
I don't have a choice. I'm going to do some crime. So he calls his other boss, and apparently this isn't like a spur of the moment, I'm going to do some crime. He calls this boss, and he's like, okay, I guess I'm ready to break into the Chase Bank. I don't want that waste clip to ever be taken out of context.
The Chase safe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Chase family jewel safe.
Mm-hmm, exactly, yeah. Yeah, he's coming in there. He's demanding it. He's like,
yeah,
demand it. He's Paranormal Activity too up in this piece right now.
Yeah. So he's like, I want 50% of the cut. And the guy's like, we don't do this unless I tell you that we're going to do it. And he goes, well, I'm the only one that can get into that safe. And then the guy threatens his wife and daughter. And then he goes, well, once again, you're not going to get this jewel without me. So he's like, 40, take it or leave it.
He also does a little trick where he takes his lighter and singes the hairs off of his hands. He's like, say that shit again. And then he holds his hand to the fire, and Arkin does say that shit again. And yeah, they agree.
Yeah.
He's going to go do it. He's going to get the jewel, and he's got to be there by midnight.
Yep.
So we now see Arkin arrive back at the house, at the Chase house.
He's parked away.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going to, you know, he doesn't want his truck to be seen, even though they've established multiple times that this house is in the middle of fucking nowhere. So a truck, even though it's like a few hundred yards away from the house, it's still like, well, where else are you going?
You don't want to get sloppy, though. You know what I mean? Like, that's when you start making mistakes. That's when it becomes traceable. He's the best, as he said. Nobody can break locks like he can.
So he runs over, and he's in all black and a black ski mask, or for the Edgar Wrights,
balaclava.
He runs across, and that's important to note, because the collector is also going to be in all black and a black mask.
He one-ups him, though. He, like,
yeah.
Mine's, oh, no, like, his more mask black. Is way cooler.
Yeah. It's very clear that Arkin has been using this mask for a while. It's starting to fall apart on him.
Yeah, well, it falls apart even more because as he's walking to the house, the collector's dog lunges and takes a piece of his mask off.
And Arkin is not phased enough by there suddenly being a dog here.
Yeah, right. You would think that there's something up with that. Like, maybe, like, I guess they thought to get a dog while I was away last time. I don't know.
But also, this family isn't raising a dog like this.
And also, they're going on vacation, so why is this dog tied up outside? Yeah, that should raise more flags, but it doesn't for him. It's like, oh, wow, cool.
And it's not even like it's a loose dog. This dog is on a chain on a post in the yard in the middle of the nowhere by this house.
Yeah, a dog doesn't do that to itself.
Yeah.
Somebody is there that just did that.
Yeah.
So he goes inside. And he heads upstairs, and he finds the safe behind the mirror, and he starts to crack it. But then as he's doing that, he has his hand on the dial, and he hears somebody entering downstairs.
Yes.
And he's listening just to make sure it's actually somebody there, and they hit the same creak on the stair that he did on his way up, so he knows somebody's actually heading upstairs.
Yeah, so and he throws his shit into his bag.
This is one of the best shots right here, where he, like, goes off to the side room, and the camera pans up above it, and it's, like, split right down the middle. Collector on one side, he's on the other side.
A movie could be the worst movie in the world, and if it gives me an overhead shot like this, I'm gonna give it credit, because I cannot get enough of these types
of
shots.
It's so cool, but it's also awesome, because you're seeing him, he's listening for him. As soon as the collector makes a move, he, like, goes to the door, and then they're just, like, entering the same room. Like,
yeah.
He's just, like, it's maneuvering around.
Yeah, you know, like, it's if you haven't watched this movie, it's worth watching it at least just for the shot.
You know what? And I guess I could take back what I said about his Argento camera not being cool, because that was very cool.
Yeah.
And very Argento right there.
Now, when you said he was inspired by Argento, I was like, I can see that. And then you said because of the camera. And I was like, well, no, I can see it more because of the music. And then you said the music thing. And I was like, well, that makes
sense. Yeah,
yeah. Okay. So he gets downstairs because he's like, I think it's probably just a good idea to leave. But the doors are extra bolted and with these fancy bolts that, like, aren't pickable. So he's like, well, that's kind of messed up. And
it's
then
like
he,
four locks, man. It's overkill.
Yeah. And then he's like, well, this is weird. I installed this door, and I know I didn't put that many deadbolts on here. And then he looks at the watch, and he thinks of his wife being kneecapped. So he decides whoever's in here locked him in here anyway, and he's going to go ahead and try and get the gem
just,
while he's
yeah,
there.
Yeah, just head on up there.
Yeah,
so he goes back
two
up,
birds, one stone.
Goes back to the safe, starts to try and crack it again, but this time he hears somebody screaming through the vents.
Yeah. And then the screaming becomes a lot closer because suddenly Michael is in the room. He is in a bad way. Like, he is swollen and bleeding and
cut. In the closet or something, right? And he, like, falls out of the closet. And he's like, oh, it was you.
Yeah, and he looks up because he sees Arkin in the all black. And he's like, oh, it was you. Why would you do this to us? And he goes to get a golf club to beat Arkin with. Except, uh-oh, it's rigged. And what it does is it picks Michael up by his foot and then pulleys him all the way through the hallway and then drops him down the stairwell. Yeah. So he like breaks a leg and lands on the ground, and then the collector grabs him.
I know it's ridiculous, man, but I love how everything is rigged in this house. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it starts off where you're like, huh, that's weird. How did they get the four deadbolts on there without anybody noticing? And then you just see this like Wile E. Coyote set up and you're like, oh, we just don't think about it. That's what the story is. Okay, got it. Brain off. Let's just enjoy the ride.
You know, one day I think it would be cool to actually see like an anvil use in like a horror movie, you know?
Oh my god, yes.
I feel like it would be fitting for something like this, or maybe like a Terrifier. I think I could see Art using an anvil.
I could 100% seeing Art set up an anvil at some point.
You do like a Wile E. Coyote type thing.
Yeah, dear Damian Liam.
Yeah, let's send that out there. Let's make that happen.
Okay, so Arkin is like, oh, shit's really fucked up. I'm going to try and call the cops. And he picks up a phone and gets a nail to the ear.
That fucking kills me. That's such a minor thing, but the little, like, poke, that's good sound design right there, too, because whenever you hear it, like, the little sound it makes whenever it gets him in the ear, he's like, ah, yeah. God, that fucking gets me. Ugh.
Then he tries to get into a window that's been boarded shut. But
it's rigged with razors on the bottom of it, and it falls on his hands.
And somehow he's able to get his hand free without losing all of his skin.
I know. I don't know how he does that. But the collector hears all of the commotion, so he goes upstairs to investigate.
He manages to get out, and he narrowly avoids a different trap and hides in one of the bedrooms.
I love his hiding spots in this movie. He hides under the pillows. He's like Danny DeVito hidden in the children's toys, and It's Always Sunny right there.
Which is like an E.T. reference, but I know you're not.
Whatever, man.
With E.T., it's fine.
Yeah.
So he ends up going downstairs and sees the chandelier on the ground with a bunch of knives on it. And he goes, huh, that looks awful.
I wrote as many of these as I could find here because he's observing all of the traps that are down there.
Yeah.
So you got the knife chandelier, which that's impressive. I like that idea. That's very cool. You get the wired knife, which I don't really know. I can't remember which one that is exactly. You get the bear trapped room, which is just a room full of bear traps.
Yeah, like, it's simple but effective.
Just all over the place, yeah. And then you get the wired area, which is just like an area that has all kinds of wires all over it, which I'm assuming either it's set like, off traps or they maybe cut you if you run into them.
Yeah, they cut you because he does hit one at one point.
Yeah, so it's like razor wires right there, yeah.
So he takes one of the knives from the chandelier. So that was pretty smart.
Yeah, he tried to get it. I don't think he actually gets it.
I think he did manage to like wiggle it out of the zip tie.
Okay, maybe. And then he heads down to the basement, and down there, the dad, or I guess I should say Michael, grabs his shoulder, and he surprises him. He's down there strapped to a chair. His wife is also down there too, and she's in a bathtub.
Yeah, and Arkin's like, listen, I didn't do this. I'm not going to tell you why I was here, but I am going to try and help get you out.
Honestly, it's not important. You don't need to know that.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
I'm here. I'm on your side now. Okay, so let's just fucking go with it.
Yeah, so Michael says Jill was out of the house. Thank goodness. His wife is in the next room. And then Arkin goes, what about Hannah? And Michael's just like,
I don't fucking know. Yeah, cool. You don't give a shit about her. Yeah. Great. So he's like, okay, go up to the safe. There's a gun in there. The combination, 15-24-7. And he's like, fuck, awesome. That's where I've been trying to go this entire time.
And then he goes, bullets are in the bottom drawer. And Arkin doesn't retain that at all. And Travis can attest to that because I was shouting at the TV the whole time going, bottom drawer!
So Arkin pops over to check in on the wife, Victoria. And I think that was her name, right?
Okay. Victoria or Vicky.
Yeah. She's in the tub. She's blindfolded. And the blindfold is like tape, but it's also like stapled or sewn to her face.
It's stapled.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Arkin is like not wanting to rip her skin out because he knows how important her skin is to her.
Yeah,
he's like, if she survives, I want her skin to still be pretty.
Yeah.
He does take the gag off of her mouth, and she says, "You need to find Hannah, please." And he's like, "All right, I'm going to do my best to do that.
But I need you to do one thing for me, and that's I need you to scream because I need a distraction so I can go upstairs. As soon as he comes down, though, stop screaming so he doesn't fuck you up."
And she's like, "I'd really rather not." And he goes, "Well, these are my terms."
Like, I'd really rather save Hannah, but you know, if you don't really want to scream, that's totally fine. So she does. She screams.
Arkin and it does it. Work.
Yeah, yeah. He gets out of there, but the collector takes her and gets her tongue out. And it's like, what the fuck tool is this? It's like a clamp type thing.
No, he's got like a clamp to pull her tongue out, and then he's got like a special kind of clipper that he's going to clip her tongue with.
He's threatening to do it. He doesn't do it, though. But
then it looks almost like he's gluing her lips together so she can't scream anymore. Because he does the same thing in, like, House of Wax where he, like...
Yeah.
Then he goes to the next room to Michael. Michael. So upstairs, Arkin gets the gun and the gem. Because, you know...
Fuck yeah, it's right there. Yeah. Like, I didn't get it. The collector got it, Michael. Yeah. I swear.
Yeah, it fell out. I don't know.
Don't know. Yeah.
So he goes to get the bullet after getting blood on all of their clothing in every single drawer before the bottom drawer. And then he gets to the box of bullets. And oh my God, this man has an empty box of bullets in the bottom drawer. That is infuriating. It's like he took the last bullet and then put the box back. It's the equivalent of doing that in the pantry. Like, I finished the cereal, but I'm going to put the empty box back on the shelf.
Like, what the fuck was he doing with her? Was he shooting? Did he shoot? Did he just, like, eat them? Did he just, like, use them for various, like, little projects that he had around the house?
Like, they're, like, paperweights. Like,
did they get stolen? Did the collector take them? What the fuck happened here? Why are all the bullets missing?
Honestly, I was expecting, like, maybe a trap with the bullets to be set somewhere, but...
He doesn't have a gun until the cop comes later, so I don't know what it is, but, yeah, there's just an empty box of bullets in there, so he's fucked. But he is crying and thumping, and... He looks over it, and there's the box there.
Yeah. And he opens it up, and Larry jumps out, and he's like, he collects people. He kills the one he doesn't want to keep. And Arkin doesn't know what to do about Larry, so he just shoves him back in the box.
I would love this if he just did it slowly and quietly, just like pushed him into the box.
Yeah, like he's slowly like, you can see the confusion on his face. He's like, I don't know what to do with this right now. It broke Arkin's brain.
Yeah, it's like this night has already been super weird. Like, and now this is happening. Who the fuck are you? Why did you do this to yourself? Yeah, just get back in there. Like, we can't handle this shit right now. There's not enough room for this.
I'm at my limit. He goes into another room, and there's acid glue on the floor, and his shoe immediately gets stuck and starts dissolving, and there's a cat in there too, and this is awful, and I don't want to talk about it too much. It ends with the cat being chopped in half in the window. Because Arkin does try to save the cat.
It's the razor window, like, before. Yeah. And, he saves the cat by, like, grabbing it and throwing it, yeah. But I like the tension of him, because, like, there's a commotion going on. The cat isn't cool about the whole thing. The cat's making a lot of noise.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, I get it. But he's having to get his shoes unstuck from the floor because he doesn't want to give away his, you know, spot.
So he ends up covering it with books and stuff, which this is smart because the collector comes in, sees like magazines and stuff in the glue, sees half a cat on the floor, and then figures, oh, cat knocked some shit down before getting cut in half.
Such a cat move.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, let's talk about our lamp.
Yeah, let's not talk about our lamp. all right, so Arkin heads back down to the basement, and he finds Michael has been disemboweled.
Yeah.
Michael is dead.
There's a lot of entrails.
I love that he, like, pops over to Victoria, and he's like, okay, I'm going to get you out. Yeah, she's like, is Michael okay? He's like, yeah, he's cool.
Yeah, he's fine. But he's when fine. We're we get out, save him next, but
keep your eyes on my back. Just look at my back the entire time, and then she doesn't.
He could have just, and here's the thing, he did grab a paperclip while he was upstairs so he could, like, pull the staple out of her head, which
that was smart.
It was a nice move.
Yeah.
He could have, like, waited until they were past Michael's various pieces of corpse.
Can you imagine, like, he, like, takes the blindfold off, and then, like, they start to walk, and he, like, pauses, and he, like, turns around, he's like, actually, and he, like, puts it back over her eyes. It's like, all right, now same, follow me.
Same energy of slowly boxing Larry back up. He just, yeah. Actually.
Can't handle the shit tonight. I am done. We're getting out of here.
But that's not what happens, and instead, Vicky turns around, sees Michael, screams, runs upstairs. And then when she gets up there, the collector's there, and he does a little step, 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 step.
Dude, he just shanks her repeatedly yeah. in the tummy.
And then she falls down the stairs. Arkin sees a key reel on his belt, and he's like, that's my way out. So while the collector comes downstairs to finish up Vicky, because I thought she was dead. She wasn't. She's got more fun things coming to her. He runs upstairs and hears a horn honking, and then still and her boyfriend.
Why are they honking the horn? What's he trying to accomplish here? Is that like, I'm horny? Is that what he's trying to say?
I think they're like making out and getting a little busy, and he's like accidentally hitting the horn.
That's so weird though. Like, I'm just like imagining like making out and then just like reaching, burr, 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 you know, just like honking it. Like, what are you trying to do? I don't get it. This isn't sexy, man.
I think also like they're young. So it's like, it's really hot if you make out in your car and you accidentally hit the car horn.
Yeah, he's like, oops, yeah. oops.
And I don't want to make the stereotype joke, because we do know some wonderful Chads, but this guy's name is Chad.
Sorry, Chad.
Sorry.
You got a bad Chad here. So they decide to head inside. Front door's locked, which is weird, but...
Yeah, she's... No, this is the relationship between Jill and Vicky, because Jill goes, Mom must have changed the locks on me.
I know, right? Yeah.
Like, that's her immediate reaction is so fucked up.
Like, yeah, my mom just doesn't want me to live here anymore. Cool. That's great. So they go inside and
yeah, the collector goes to the side door and undoes the little top deadbolts real quick. So Jill's able to get into that door.
Dude, the collector, he saw an opportunity here. He's like, they're horny. I have a chance to like watch some stuff.
Yeah, I'm they're the collector, horny, but tonight I'm horny.
I'm the observer now. Like, I'm gonna be observing this shit. So they go inside and they're doing this weird little dance where they are in there making out, going all over the place, narrowly avoiding all of these traps that are set up inside the house, which is cool. I like it. It's a nice tense moment.
Yeah.
And she's like pinned up, or she's like laying on the table.
You know what it feels like? Final Destination, like every time a character is about to die and you're like, oh, it's gonna be that, oh, it's gonna be that, because at this point she's on the island, she was flipped over backwards, there's a machete propped over her head, and
she's
like,
not even noticing it.
But she does eventually at one point open her eyes and see the collector's little terrifying contacts staring back at her.
I do like though, before that though, like Arkin was roaming through the hallways and he looks over and he just sees the collector perving out and just kind of like watching.
He's like, I hated this guy. I definitely hate him now.
Yeah. Like, but he's just like crouched there just looking. He's like, whoa.
Licking you can see his lips.
He's like, damn, that's gross. A booby.
Yeah. So they panic. The collector runs in and he like fights Chad and ends up like stabbing him, and then Chad gets his fingies cut off by the machete, and then he falls into the bear trap room. So the first bear trap gets him and he goes, oh fuck, and then he falls backwards and the rest of the bear traps
into every other bear trap. And yeah they like eviscerate him. Hannah, she
Jill
goes, or Jill, she, you remember the scissors that were tied up downstairs?
Yeah, because she sees Arkin, because Arkin goes to try and help her.
Mm-hmm. The collector takes her first and like takes barbed wire and wraps her up against stairs.
So Arkin comes downstairs, like Arkin creates a distraction, manages to sneak downstairs, cuts her out of the barbed wire and is like, well, we've got to get out. And Jill is like, I'm gonna like stab you with these scissors, except when she pulls them she gets splattered up against the wall.
Yeah, it's really cool, but yeah, it just throws her against the projector, and yeah, I love that kill a lot.
Yeah, so Arkin tries to help Larry, but Larry's feet are, like, chained. Like, it's going through his feet. And Arkin's like, I really don't know what to do with you. And he boxes him back up again. Yeah,
he's like, I've tried, man. Like, I thought that I could handle this. I can't handle this.
So he busts through a window. I guess this one isn't rigged or something. I don't know. Either way, he manages to get out, and he's running out. And then he turns around, and Hannah's in the window.
Yeah. And he just gives a look at her and sees the collector, hear her crying upstairs, and he's like, God damn it, I gotta go back.
Yep.
So he climbs back up into the house.
The collector up Hannah. And Hannah are running around first.
Yeah, he's chasing Hannah. And then Arkin comes in at the last minute and punches the collector.
Yep.
So he scoops up Hannah. They run into a bedroom.
They plan a trap. They're going to set their own trap. He said, I need you to stay off the floor. So he's going to knock over her fish tank. She's going to knock over her TV.
Did you, by the way, pay attention to what was playing on the TV?
No.
It was very disturbing type shit. It almost looked like the Ring video.
Oh shit, really?
It was weird. It was very weird stuff. Like, why would a child be having this stuff being played in her room?
No, I imagine that the collector set that as part of his other traps. Oh,
like, it could be. Like, he's like,
if they don't die tonight, they will die in 7 days.
This is why he was prepared for it, because he's like, hey guys, I was gonna do that. Like, I was gonna push the TV into the like fish tank.
It's his contingency plan. Yeah. Yeah, so they have this all set, they're ready to go, except the collector is
he's prepared
40 chess. Yeah, he throws Larry in.
Larry's like, okay. Well, Arkin's like a little bit relieved. He's like, okay, I don't have to worry about that anymore. Like, but god damn it, that just thwarted my plan.
He's like, that problem resolved itself.
Like, all right, this is kind of like a neutral outcome right here. Wait, okay.
So then him and Hannah run into the bathroom, and there's a laundry chute in here.
Oh, and also hooks.
And also hooks.
This is where he runs in.
This is the room where he walks into a room and gets a fish hook in the eye.
Ugh, God, it's so fucking nasty. Yeah, I can't.
Yeah.
Just the little things like that that give me the most.
And the little girl's just staring at him going, so what do we do? Like, why is he trying to pull the hook out of his eye?
It really pays to be really short right now. Like, none of that stuff is at my level.
Yeah, you can tell the collector hasn't collected houses with kids very often.
Yeah, this is the first for him. So they go down the chute. Well, Hannah does.
Hannah goes down the chute. Meanwhile, the collector is using Larry's head as a battering ram. This is gnarly. Like, blood is gushing through the keyhole. It is gross.
Larry has become the Swiss Army man, Daniel Radcliffe, right here. Like, he's like using him as a battering ram. Like, he could potentially use him as a gun later.
Yeah.
If he wanted to. Maybe that's where the bullets are going towards.
Oh my god, that's where they are. Yeah, they're in Larry's throat.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he knocks out Arkin because they get into a little fight.
Yeah. Oh boy, where are we at?
Arkin wakes up.
Yeah.
He's handcuffed to a beam in the basement, and the collector appears downstairs, and he drops a little bag, and he starts pulling out tools, and these are to fuck up Arkin's day.
Yeah.
And the first one being a chisel,
which
he takes to Arkin's tooth and successfully chisels his tooth out, which is nasty.
Honestly, it's a broken tooth because we don't see the root of the tooth.
That's true. Oh, God. Ugh, fuck that
shit. So that's just like one more thing Arkin's going to have to deal with when he gets out of here.
Yeah. And then Arkin looks over and he notices that Hannah is hiding underneath the desk in there.
Yeah. And Hannah lets out a whimper. And so Arkin... Oh, this was my ugly. What's the language Arkin uses?
Oh, yeah. He distracts the collector through a slur. Yeah, bunch of slurs here. Daring him to continue hurting him, which does get to the collector.
It does. And so he comes over, slices a big arc in Arkin's tummy, and then holds a jar up
of some kind of exotic bug, and then lights the jar.
For sure, Madagascar hissing cockroaches.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you were like positive about that. You were just like, it kind of looks like that.
I mean, anytime there's a bug like that, that's what it is.
Okay.
I don't make the rules.
I can't dispute that. I can't refute it. You're correct. You win. So yeah, he's like lighting it up. But we forgot to mention before, during the scuffle with Jill, she managed to also dial 911 on her phone real quick.
Yeah.
And he never noticed that. So we hear a whoop whoop.
Yeah.
We hear cops whoop, whoop. Outside.
Yep. So
he looks inside the house. He sees Chad.
Like, what the fuck? He's
like, that's a lot of bear traps. Ah, that's Chad.
So he calls for backup. And then he runs into the collector outside.
He's just casually walking out, you know.
And he's like, put your hands up! And the collector's all chill because the dog is within attacking range. So he gives the command, and then the collector finishes him off after he's been knocked down and he breaks his neck.
Ugh, yeah. The dog, it's like the green room where
he
gets bit in the neck like that, yeah. And then the collector goes to the cop car and gets his shotgun.
Yeah. So Arkin manages to get free, realizes that the house is set to blow because Vicky is in a bathtub just full of gasoline. The collector peeks in, sees that Arkin has gotten loose, so he decides he's going to set his dog loose in the house. Arkin pulls Hannah up through the laundry chute, but by that point, the collector has realized where they're going, so he goes upstairs.
The dog, too. The dog's like, hey, wait a minute.
And Arkin shoves a flaming trash can in his face.
Look, I hate it. I hate that it had to happen, but I get it. The dog was going to kill them. The dog was a collector dog.
It's not the dog's fault, but
no, the dog was trained that way. It was the collector that did that shit to him. So, yeah, he, like, takes the can, puts it in the dog's face, and then he opens the door and tosses the dog at the collector, who shoots it with a shotgun as a distraction.
Arkin goes down there and fights with him, and during the fight manages to get the key reel off his belt. Mm-hmm. So him and Hannah run to the front door, except the front key is broken because they've got one of those houses where, like, it's not just a deadbolt. Like, you lock it from the inside, too. Yeah. So, yeah.
So the collector, he was knocked down into the basement.
But he got up again. Up.
Yeah.
Because you're never going to keep him down.
No, never. Goes upstairs, looks over to the side, and he just sees Arkin and Hannah just kind of crouching.
So he shoots them, except, uh-oh!
It's a mirror!
It's a mirror! And then what they've done is they set the mirror in front of the front door. So he shoots a hole through the front door and also manages to set off his own trap, which is
the knife chandelier.
The stabilier, I'm going to call it.
I like that.
Yeah.
God, this is so smart on him right here. Like, he's like, all right, I'm going to create an opening. I'm going to trick you into getting stabbed by a stabilier, and I'm going to get the hell out of there.
That's what makes Arkin so likable, because, like, he's morally gray, but he's trying to do the best that he can for all of the innocent people involved, except for Larry.
He's like, fuck that guy.
He's like, we're done with Larry.
Yeah, you're just, nah, don't have enough.
And but yeah, he's a smart protagonist, and it's easy to root for him because of that.
Yeah, exactly. So they make it outside. They run out, and they make it to the road, and
a cop car
hits him. I put this all on Arkin here. He could have been on the shoulder of the road to flag him down, but no, he's like, there's like a shit ton of cop cars barreling down the road. I'm going to run in front of them.
I think in everything else, he forgot he was dressed in all black.
That too. That doesn't help.
And it's
help
raining,
things.
So like, he's not visible at all.
Yeah, but he, like, I'm surprised he survives this because he gets hit at full speed.
And he looks over and he sees Hannah in the grass, and he sees the collector coming up for him, except, oh, it's just a cop. So Arkin is being loaded into the ambulance, and the house explodes. So they've got to deal with that. But there's still, don't worry, there's still some first responders talking to him, and the detective's like, so you're very sure it was the exterminator that you saw earlier in the day? And he's like, yeah, I saw his fucking face, both in context of exterminating and in attempting to exterminate.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, cool. It is Master Trap Exterminators. The other detective has figured that out. They've got an address. So they're going to go deal with that while they get Arkin to the hospital. And Arkin asks the EMT what time it is, and he says just before midnight, and Arkin's like, yes, cool, I did it. And I'm like, except you didn't, because you don't have the cash from this gem, and it's going to be a while before you can cash that out, and I don't think the loan sharks are going to particularly care about this circumstance.
He's like, you got to call my wife real quick, and they're like, no, we're not going to do that. And he's like, no, you really got it. But what he could have done is like, here, just take the gem and give it to them. Like, just tell them what it's worth. That maybe will buy us off. I'll handle the other dudes later.
Yeah, I was going to say, then he'd be in trouble with the big boss.
Yeah. Right, now, other things. He's like, I took on the collector. I've got all kinds of shit.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, they start driving, and then the ambulance wrecks. And this is terrifying because, you know, the stretcher is, like, strapped into the ambulance, so Arkin is just stuck
hanging upside down.
Hanging when the collector busts in, kills the EMT, and takes Arkin.
Shoves him in the box. I love this ending.
And then in the truck, he removes, like, the Master Trap Exterminator.
It's so cool how he does it. Yeah. He goes over there, and it's just like, boom, the collector. The music starts, and he just, like, rips it off and then drives off.
And there is an end credit scene that's very stupid.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Basically, Arkin gets treated like Larry because he's in the suitcase trying to get out, and the collector just like bangs on the suitcase. It's on.
Yeah, he's like, he's banging. He's like, I'm gonna fucking get you. I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna fucking kill you. And then, yeah, he's just sitting on top of it, just kicks his, hey, shut up. Like, I don't know. He looked like he was watching the home videos from the family, too.
Maybe.
It's like, I collect that shit. Yeah. That shit was good.
I don't just collect people. I collect memories.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's it.
That's it.
That's how it ends.
You know what? I'm 875.
875.
Bump it up just a little bit because it's a solid movie for it. It knows what it's doing.
For what it is, yeah. Yeah. It's great. It does what it knows it's doing well.
Yeah, like right? We're just going to enjoy the fucking ride, right?
Yeah, they knew that they weren't going for like some kind of big story here. They just wanted to like have like a cool.
Yeah, they weren't getting sequence. The Oscar with this.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of interesting things that happen. Yeah. And Larry.
Yeah, and Larry. That would be our alternate tagline. That's our secondary tagline.
A bunch
tagline.
Of cool things happen.
And Larry. Larry. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I think I'll keep mine 8.5.
Okay.
8.625.
8.6... 2.5. 3.5?
6? Nope. Hold on, I broke her. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you broke... You're the Larry in my life.
I can't handle that.
8.625.
Okay.
So I think Talia, she was sleepy. She had to go out halfway through, almost exactly. It was 46 minutes and 15 seconds. I think she would really enjoy this movie, and I think she would probably give it an 8, but she's going to knock off a point and a half for cat and dog deaths.
I think she enjoyed the dog death.
Yeah, that's why it's only a point and a half.
Okay.
Like, you know, she doesn't want dogs to die in movies, but... You know, also, like, you know, it's kind of like she wants to see hero dogs, but, you know, it's kind of fun to see villain dogs, too, so.
Yeah, I think it probably is. I think it would be.
Zoe very much watched this movie whole way through.
Big explosion.
Yeah, the explosion was promised early on. She was there for it. There was also bugs. She loves hunting bugs.
Yes, she does.
Yeah.
She doesn't collect them. She hunts them.
Yeah.
She's the hunter. Yeah.
Sometimes she'll like shows off, like she doesn't kill it all the way. And she's like, look at this mystery.
I'm
thing.
About to get this thing.
And then we panic and kill it. And she's like, what the fuck?
You guys fucking
that
stole
was
that.
Mine.
Yeah. Like you don't get credit for that one.
Zoe, that had way too many legs.
Yeah. That's not cool, dude. You can't do that shit around here. Who did you relate to?
And I guess I'll go with, I related to like the other workers who were just trying to do their job and ignore the bugs and
yeah, apparently there are a lot of bugs here.
Yeah. And just like whatever it is that they're being hired to do. You know?
Okay.
Just do my job.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna worry about Ark, and I'm not gonna worry about this exterminator who's bad at his job.
Yeah, you're the dudes that are setting up the projector in there. Yeah. And you're also watching home videos.
I 100% would.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't do jobs like this. Because like if I were setting up a projector, I'd be like, let me test it. Let me watch these home videos.
Yeah.
Aww.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What did you get that Christmas? Mm. I relate to the collector because I also like to collect things. There are things that I like to collect. Like my movies.
Okay.
I collect movies. Okay. I don't collect people, but like I understand the desire to like there is a thing that you're fascinated by that you're interested in. I want to have them. I want to collect them.
Okay.
Collectors aren't naturally bad people. He's a bad seed. Okay? He's a bad he ruins it for all of us if you think about him.
Okay.
But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, collecting's not that bad.
Okay.
You got a lot of collectors that listen to this show.
Okay.
Stop doing that.
Okay. Do you have a review?
I do.
Okay.
Do we have a change, though? We haven't done changes. Like, what's
oh
something that
we
would change?
Oh, my God. We have been forgetting about that, haven't we?
Yeah. What's something that we would want to change to make this better? I mean, mine, like I said before, I think, like, you know, a more appropriate soundtrack in certain areas would be nice for me or... You know, like, Claudio's still around, dude. If you wanted Claudio, you could have had him score your movie.
Dude, that would be awesome.
Yeah, he needs to score more movies, honestly. Like, he's not getting enough work.
Okay. You had the lower score, so
that's my thing.
You picked the change anyway.
Yeah, I mean, really, there's not much else I would change about this movie. I like it for what it is. I like that it's bare bones. I like that it's a bunch of kills. Like, it's just, like, a thing to, like, show a bunch of kills in fun ways. And he's got a creepy mask too, and I'm a slut for creepy killer masks.
You are. You know, that is true.
That's just who I am.
And it doesn't come off his face. And the only time it does, we don't see his face.
We don't see it. So. We don't see it in the sequel either, which is great, because we have an extended sequence of him not having a mask on during that. It's great.
And like, by the sequel, we've established who it is. His face isn't a mystery anymore, but they just keep it on.
Yeah, exactly. I like it. It's cool. Okay. Keep that shit going. All right. Now
do you have a review?
Yeah. We already did our tagline. So it's time for a dream sequel.
Dream sequel is obviously the spider's story.
Yeah, okay. Sidequel.
Yeah.
Prequel, maybe? How did the spider get there? And then, like, we see the journey that the spider goes through, and then...
Yeah, like a prequel, like, it's the collector's origin story, and, like, the spider's there fucking it up, like we were talking about before.
yeah, okay.
And, like, maybe it gives him some idea, like the fishhook thing. Maybe the fishhook was originally something different, but the spider's, like, a hook gets caught in the spider's web, and, like, he's like, oh.
Oh, whoa. And that's why he keeps the spider around. He's like, hey, go outside. I'll get you when I'm done with this shit.
Wait, go hang out with the dog. Outside. Yeah.
All right. I do have a review. It's an IMDb user review. All right. They rated it 1 out of 10.
Oh, boy.
I hate movies with no ending. When you start something, you gotta end it. You showed us the wife that had to pay loan sharks. What happened to her? You didn't have the imagination to show us. What did the police do after the hero was sent by the ambulance? You didn't have the imagination to show us. The collector keeps collecting people. What should happen in the end? Somebody must find about him and stop him. This is exactly the reason why you make movies, unless you want to encourage the future generation to become collectors as well. You don't just allow a movie to end mysteriously like that. This is the most horrible way to end a movie, and this movie is definitely not one of those that one would wish to have a DVD of and watch twice or thrice.
So this guy's just not a fan of ambiguous endings.
No, he's not. Like, he's like, you told a story, you can't leave it open-ended, no sequels.
Look, and I will give him this. The whole wife with the loan shark thing, that was purely there as, like, how do we realistically get Arkin into this house?
That's really all it was, yeah.
Like, why is it so urgent for him? Why does he keep going back? Like, that makes sense. It's a solid reasoning. But, yeah, that thread does kind of get dropped. And it doesn't even get picked back up in the sequel.
Well, the thing is, the movie's not about her.
Yeah.
Like, we're not following her. We're following Arkin. Like, he doesn't make it there. We don't get to find out because he doesn't get to talk to her. He tried.
Like, what if in the sequel, like, when he does get free and he's in the hospital, you know, and you know how the wife comes in and sees him? Like, what if it had just been the daughter and she's like, Mommy's dead.
Yeah, mommy, some bad guys came over and
or like she walks in and she's just like in a full leg cast and has a black eye. Yeah.
I mean, I understand. I also hate sometimes when movies are set up like that. I don't feel like this though was set up like that.
No.
I don't feel like they had the intention of doing a sequel. I don't think that they like left that shit off because they couldn't think of it. I just think that that wasn't part of the story.
Yeah, like the collector's meant to be unstoppable. We're meant to see that he just is always collecting, always moving on to the next thing. And like it really wasn't about the wife's loan shark debt.
It wasn't about the debt at all. Like the whole thing is just like about them breaking into the house on the same night.
Yeah.
That's really that's just all stuff to set it up. Yeah, it's not that important. Turn your brain off, dude. That's what we said at the beginning of this. You can't think about it. No. That's all you gotta do.
The second you think about it, it starts falling apart.
I'm sure people hate hearing that sometimes. Like, just don't think about it. Like, why not think about it? It's a fucking movie. But like, sometimes it's just best to not think about it. Like, you don't have to think about. Not everything is trying to make a statement. Not everything is like deep. Like, some things are just like fucking popcorn movies that you're there to enjoy.
It's pulp. Yeah. It's pulp.
That's all it is.
Like, and that's what I keep trying to, like, having this whole thing with the Reacher stuff, because people are, like, it's so funny when the show is actively going, and then all of a sudden the subreddit is show watchers and book readers, and you can tell who is which, and who's both, because, like, the show watchers are like, how is this guy so in shape while he eats his diner food?
All right, can I ask something then?
Yeah.
You've brought this up before.
Yeah.
So the books are very pulpy and very much like popcorn. Like, you're not supposed to take it too seriously.
Yeah, it's so unrealistic.
That must that tells me, is there something about the show that's taking it way too seriously then, that people are having those questions?
No, it's the people that don't really understand what the point of it is. Like, it's meant to just be like, somebody described it as he's like a modern day knight, like riding through the countryside, finding quests to fulfill. And that really is what
that's
it
cheesy
is.
As fuck.
It is, yeah. But that's why it's fun. And then the show is just a bunch of people punching each other. And that's what it's meant to be. And okay. People think about it too hard. They're like, none of this is realistic. And it's like, yeah, no, it's not meant to be.
Okay. We just ask everybody to stop thinking. Level the playing field. I need to like be with everybody else.
Everybody
here.
Else needs to be surprised that the exterminator is the collector.
Yes,
get
I
on
wish.
Travis's level.
I wish that were the case. Maybe that, you know, my people are there. My people are listening.
I'm
people
sure we'll get at least one person being like, I didn't Whoa. Get that connection either.
You're welcome, whoever that was. All right, I do have a bunch of listener reviews here.
Okay. We had yeah, a decent people were real excited about this.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate that. All right, so we'll start off on Instagram with Cube Saves. He says, this movie rules, and I really hope the next one actually comes out.
Yes.
So there's a whole story going on with the Collection 3, which it had started and then it fell apart. My dream is whenever we talk about the Collection, I want to have one of them or both of them on the show, and I want to hear from them talk about
what. It's
going to
be the Collected, right?
Yeah, the Collected, yeah. I want to hear from them. It's all out there, but I want to be able to like talk to them about
it. In
their
words.
Yeah, yeah. I want to talk about it. It is a messy thing. They had started filming it, and then it just kind of stopped. They lost funding, basically. But maybe that'll happen one day down the road. All right, next up, we have Tucker, who says, I actually think this one is really underrated. Great protagonist, cool killer in concept, decent production / story. And I also love the fact that this is one of the few slasher movies where the good guy and bad guy straight up throw hands at the end. 8 out of 10.
Yeah, there really isn't enough, like, punching in horror movies.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's like a lot of just, like, stabbing and just, like, pricking each other. But, like, you know, this
yeah,
time it's like,
yes,
they fucking throw down.
You
yeah,
know?
It's cool. Yeah. Settle it the old way. All right. Over on Twitter, we have Joe Freakatron, who says, such an intense concept, executed brilliantly. I was so captivated by the film that I immediately found the sequel at 2 a.m. and stayed up late because I needed more. Josh Stewart rocks. Fuck yeah. I'm glad that people like this series because, like, I do feel like it is kind of an underrated one. Yeah. It didn't get the love that it ever deserved. None of the movies really like performed super well in the box office.
Yeah,
I think it's one that like lives at home with people that like, you know, one of the classic ones. Like, if this were back in the day, it would have done well because of the home,
yeah,
like, you know, rentals.
Yeah, home video
but
market, yeah,
the like these came out when all of that was dying, so it kind of suffered because of that.
Yeah.
Flicks and Friends podcast say this is one of my absolute favorite whodunits. Hey, there we go. He didn't know he did it. The concept of great. Oh, probably is great. The concept is great. It cemented my fear of bear traps, and all in all, a blast to watch. The alternate ending is great as well. Fuck yeah.
Wait, were you on the fence about bear traps? Maybe they're not so bad.
Can we get some further explanation as
like,
to your
I
stance?
Could, I could maybe handle a bear trap, and then you watch this, and you're like, nope, couldn't handle a bear trap.
And then you watch Saw, and it's like a reverse bear trap, and you're like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah,
bear
like
traps
we're no bear traps.
Yeah, sorry bears that we ever did that to you. And finally, we have Aquile Boobs, who says, "Fucking hell, this is Kevin McAllister's darkest timeline." Dude was so traumatized from the abuse of his family, he took it out on the world. Seriously, though, this is a good, suspensefully tense watch. The bear trap death, yeesh.
Yeah.
I guess that was the main takeaway from people, is the bear trap.
It's not when he walks into the room and gets a fish hook in his eye.
No, I guess not to everybody.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, cool. I appreciate hearing from you guys what worked for this movie and what yeah. may not have.
I'm glad people had fun with it because I had a lot of fun talking about this.
Yeah, I did too. It's a good movie, man. Yeah. I want more people to watch it if you haven't seen it. It deserves some love. We need to get the third one. We need to get the ball rolling, get some juice out there for that series. That way people know that there's interest. Maybe it can go straight to streaming. Like a Shudder. If they are able to fund Daddy originals Shudder. Again, Daddy Shudder, or whatever streaming service out there that's looking for some cheap content, because these are cheap movies. All right, that's it for this week's episode, guys. This is, I hope this is a good omen for 2024 for us.
Well, you know what is a really good omen for 2024 is that my birthday is next week.
Uh-huh.
And that means I get to pick my birthday movie.
It's Jesse's birthday movie. Have you already said what it's going to be on the show yet?
I've told a couple of people in real life, but, and then I think we told our patrons in the bonus episode.
The patrons got it, yeah.
But we're doing Slaughterhouse!
Oh, Slaughterhouse.
It's on Hulu.
Yep, that's that's one that we watched this past year, and boy,
howdy. I'm obsessed with this movie.
Yep.
I'm so excited to talk about it.
So, yeah, you can watch it on Hulu. If you want to catch up on it, do so. Or if you just want to hear us talk about it, you know, we'll be happy to do that for you guys.
It's exactly what you think it's going to be by the title. It's,
yeah, as dumb as you would expect. And hopefully... hope it would be, because like you don't go into a movie like Slaughterhouse and expect some grade A cinema, you know what I mean? Like, it's gonna be cheesy.
Also, if you don't have Hulu and don't want to spend money on Hulu but do want to spend money to watch the specific movie, it can be rented from Vudu, Redbox, Prime, YouTube, and Google Play, so that's not your only watch option.
Yeah,
so looking forward to it.
Yeah.
In the meantime, you can find us on social media. We're on Instagram and Threads at Least Favorite Scary Movie Podcast. We're on Twitter and Blueski as Least Fave Pod. We've got a website, whatsyourleastfavoritescarymovie.com, and you can email us at leastfavoritescarymovie@gmail.com.
Yep, and we also want to give shout out to our patrons out there, such as Joe
Freakatron,
as is his name, Michael, and Amber.
Yay, thank you guys so much.
Yeah, you guys are awesome. You keep the website running, and you keep us current with our equipment here that keeps us able to keep the show going.
And if anybody's curious about some of the perks, you can, if you're budget tier, you get bonus episodes every single month. Bugged Head tier, you get to see access to our notes. Our budget tier also get to vote. And then this month's bonus episode, because we are going to be doing Saw 6 later in the month, Travis is going to watch the reality TV competition show Scream Queens, hosted by Shawnee Smith.
Another Scream Queens Patreon episode, but a different one.
Yeah, but a different one, where they the winner gets like a role in Saw 6. Yeah. So,
and then they canceled the show pretty
much. Yeah, they did two seasons of it. I only saw the first season, so we're going to watch the second season again. That's on Tubi right now, so it can be watched there, and then you can just hear us talk about it later on this month.
Yeah, if you want to, for patrons or people, future patrons, if you are out there, you know, watch that, and, you know, we can all kind of chat about it together there on the Patreon.
Fun story, I was trying to find that show to watch it when I discovered the Ryan Murphy Scream Queens.
Oh, is that how you found it out?
Yeah, that is how I found it out. Wow. So I was searching Scream Queens, and it said it's on Hulu, and I was like, fuck yeah! And then I pulled it up, and I was like, this isn't what I was looking for, but it's got Emma Roberts, so and okay.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
And Jamie Lee Curtis, and Glenn Powell.
And her, yeah. Well, Glenn Powell, you didn't know about him at the time.
We didn't know then, but we know now.
Glenn Powell, yes.
Now Glenn Powell is a selling point, which is why we went and saw Anyone But You on Christmas Day.
Yeah, that's a fun movie, too.
It's a fun, fun time.
All right, so that's it. Thanks for being here with us in the new year. We are looking forward to a nice and fun 2024 with you guys.
Yes.
So
may this be a good year for everyone.
Yeah, let's do it. We're putting out those vibes right here, right now. Yeah. It's going to happen. All right, we'll see you guys next week.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
I see trees of green, red roses too.
You can't cut it out. Come on, even if it sounds bad, you can't leave the people hanging like that.
Oh no, I'll just cut it all out.
Oh, don't do that. Yeah. People deserve that. That's lovely.